Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. It is Thursday, September 27th. I'm Jack, and that's Jim, your regular Thursday morning co-hosts here on the radio station. We are going to be in conversation today with a couple of representatives of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force and talking about their 100,000 Poets for Change event coming up. Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann will be in studio with us. But first, we have construction to talk about. We have weather to talk about. How'd you get in today, Jim?
I parked over in the city parking lot, but it wasn't that walking over here was that difficult, but going on the other side of the street to Cedar Street Bistro to get my morning cup of coffee, I had to navigate many a footstep to get over there, but I did it, and I'm back here. But, you know, one of the amazing things about this construction is the number of parents who have brought their little children to see, you know, the big dump trucks and the loaders and all the different neat excavations going on. I think it's wonderful.
Speaking of, getting across the street, I had a conversation the other day with Cameron Rasmussen, who I saw walking home from the Panada Theater while I was walking in to do my radio show at night, and we would have just crossed the street to talk to one another, but instead we were separated by this. so we yelled across the street at one another for a couple of minutes.
Sort of like Johnny Preston's song, Running Bear on one side of the river and Little White Dove on the other, and their love could not be. And so, you know, on the other side of First Avenue. How sweet.
Yeah. Well, that's very poetic as well, Jim. Appropriate for the day.
I try.
We should talk about the weather real quick.
There's not much weather to talk about.
You're right,
today.
Actually. Yeah. Partly sunny, high of 69 degrees today. Calm wind becoming northeast around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows down to 48 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow, partly sunny on Saturday. And the highs in the low to mid-60s on both of those days. The showers may come on Saturday night and on Sunday. A 30% chance of showers Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday night. And then next week, more partly sunny, more low 60s. And that's what we're looking at.
Wonderful fall weather, isn't it? I want to say hello to, as I always do, my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia. Through the magic of Alexa and technology, they're listening to 88.5. And the weather, for those of you interested in D.C., a cold front, rain, and dreary. No wonder. Now 67 degrees, which will be the high for today. And I'm sure that if you're not listening to us, there's something else going on right now in Washington, D.C. that I think it's important that people pay attention to.
Right. Yeah. I don't imagine we have a lot of listeners from outside of the immediate area today. There's other things going on.
Absolutely.
In the media. So here we are in the studio.
Should
we?
With Brenda Hammond. Do you have a title with Bonner County Human Rights Task Force?
I'm president.
Okay. President. And Sharon McCann. Sharon, do you have a title?
I do. I'm the treasurer.
Ooh, the money person and the person who tells what to do with the money. What a combo. We are here in the studio to have, I think, fun this next hour, sharing poetry and songs, dealing with 100,000 Poets for Change. Could either of you give a little background to the event that this is the third annual one here in Sandpoint, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, it's more like the fourth or fifth.
Well, that's background.
Okay. Yeah, that was 2017.
What?
That might be the fourth time.
Fourth. We're up to date and right on top. Yeah. Let's get our facts straight. What is the 100,000 Poets for Change event?
Well, it's an event that was started in 2011. And it's a time when people all over the world, in cities all around the globe, are gathering together and are sharing poetry that encourages positive change. And that's personal change, political change, social change, everything for the better, making the world a better place, making ourselves, you know, growing and expanding. So this is the, we just determined the fourth year that the Human Rights Task Force has joined this event and sponsored 100,000 Poets for Change, which opens up to our area an opportunity for people to come and join their voices with people all around the world. And this will be, you want to give the details, Sharon?
Well, this is co-sponsored with Lost Horse Press. Christine mm-hmm. Holbert came to us, I guess it must have been 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Because she wanted to get involved and asked if we would join her. And that's what we did. And it's just been fun ever since. The first time we were supposed to do it, we got our venue, which was outside, got completely blown away. I mean, we had a windstorm and we couldn't have it outside. And Monarch Coffee graciously let us in their coffee shop. And so it was really, we were scrambling, but we had a great audience and mm-hmm. a lot of participation. It's grown from there.
And this weekend, it'll be at Evans Brothers mm-hmm. From 1 till 4. And can you talk a little bit about the people who'll be reading? Do you need to sign up ahead of time? Does it have to be something that's original? Or can it be a poem that you've discovered elsewhere that has been meaningful to you?
It doesn't have to be original. Certainly original poetry is great. It's wonderful for poets to have an opportunity to share their work. But poems that are meaningful, especially within the context of positive change and are the theme. So we encourage people to come and share their favorite poems, whether original or not. We should have some other poems there that if someone comes and they came just to be a listener or a participant in that way, which is important too. You can come just to listen. But should you be moved to read something, we'll have some poetry there that people can choose from and join in if they choose. And Jackie...
Desiree. Is that her name? Desiree. Okay. Will be emceeing.
Right. Oh, wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
And people bring their guitars and people sing. You know, they don't just read poetry. Mm-hmm. There's some music involved.
And I do want to, emphasize, that with a poetry reading or a listening to music, you need good listeners. You need an audience. So by all means, it's from 1 to 4 this Saturday at the Evans Brothers Cafe, and that's a wonderful venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's indoors, so you won't get blown away. but in the years past, what sort of turnout have you had?
I think it's varied, but I think we usually have people that come and go.
Of course.
And then there are some people that just come by and get swept up into
the moment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So, I think there's usually around 50 people mm-hmm. there.
That's
wonderful. We always rent extra chairs because we know that there won't be enough if we don't do that. So,
and last year we had a wonderful crowd of families, of parents who brought their children to listen.
So it's a family?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Certainly this year, because of the reading to a child, one mm-hmm. of the themes was reading poetry to children. So I took posters to, posters were taken to all the schools, hoping that the teachers would get the kids involved. So
this is a new initiative this year. They have added read a poem to a child as part of the 100,000 Poets for Change event. And this whole week, people are encouraged to read a poem to a child.
Well, one of the things that I remember as a child is that, poetry does not necessarily rhyme, but boy, as a child, don't you just love words that mm-hmm. rhyme and go back and forth and mm-hmm. how they sound? I think that's a wonderful idea. And I think it's a wonderful idea to, I think in general, we've lost a feel for poetry. Mm-hmm. One might read a novel or a short story, maybe dip into a play, but what are you reading lately? A volume of poetry. How many people say that?
Well, but yet it's so appropriate. I mean, I write personally, and I write poetry because I really don't have time for anything longer. So in our fast-paced life, poetry is especially meaningful, I think.
I agree. Should we read some poems and dealing with 100,000 poets for change? Mm-hmm. Let's see, there's four of us, so we're going to be dealing with 999,996 poets for change. Brought to you by 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to Jim and Jack on the Morning Show, and we're here with Sharon McCann and Brenda Hammond. Which one of you would have a poem, has a poem to read and put it into a context? They're looking at each other. They're going paper, rock, scissors, paper, rock, scissors.
That's great.
Okay. I think I'll start because I was telling my 11-year-old granddaughter about this event, and the very next day, and I told her the theme, and she said, "Grandma, I wrote a poem for the event." I went, "Wow." So she gave me permission to read it this morning, and I'd like
to
do that.
Is this the first reading ever?
Yes.
Ooh, a premiere here.
Yeah, she's 11. Her name is Juliet Jennings.
Is she here in town?
She is in town. She goes to the Charter Middle School.
Okay, let's go.
So the name of the poem is "The Most Beautiful Something" by Juliet Jennings. Poetry is like a story, but it is more than that because poetry tells so much in such little words. It's like a huge change of your life because when I think of poetry, I think of a seed that dropped from the most gorgeous tree, bush, or flower you could think of. And it changes what you see in this beautiful thing called life. And most of that life is explained with change that comes to the mind when you see kindest people who bring you food when you need it, and who has the best ideas with school and poetry and classes. Like my relative had an idea that schools like mine have one thing missing, other than math, science, or even technology. It needed the most beautiful thing that can make your mind feel like it belongs, in a field of flowers that have the sun shining in the most vibrant way. And that is what I think of poetry. Because when I grow old, I will have one last moment to go somewhere and find the happiest faces, the kindest smiles. And I will have a book in my hand with my name on it, with the title Change. And that is my goal, to have written the book of my dreams with the most special thoughts I could think of.
Wow. 11 years old? Goodness. I mean, that is wonderful. That's a wonderful. How does that make you feel as a grandmother?
Oh my gosh, I've just been beaming, smiling ever since we've gone to the library and checked out poetry books, and we've been reading poetry to each other on Wednesdays when I pick her up after school.
How
it's
wonderful.
It's been so fun.
How wonderful. Yeah. It throws me back to the days when I used to teach. I did it one time, and I always found that students were more readily wanting to do short stories or something, but boy, poetry, there was just a mental block. But one of the volumes that I used was called A Different Way of Seeing. Mm-hmm. And what poetry does is it asks you to see the world about you in a different mm-hmm. way. I think we've lost touch with poetry. Well, it sounds like your granddaughter, Sharon, is well on the road. And I like that notion of having a volume of poetry.
Her name on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what a trick. When I think of growing up, I think, Lincoln, I've been thinking, what on earth have you been drinking? looks like whiskey, tastes like wine. Oh my gosh, it's turpentine. We used to chant that back and forth, whether we were skipping rope. Did you have that sort of thing, Brenda, growing up, little rhymes or ditties?
Oh, yeah, and favorite poems. I mean, I loved Robert Louis Stevenson. Mm. When I was a child, how I love to go up in a swing.
And,
exactly.
They're really very rhythmic.
There's something poems. Secure about the rhythms of chanting back mm-hmm. and forth. But mm-hmm. your granddaughter's poem was just like a free verse and wonderful. Well, I want to read her second poem.
Yeah. Well, I was just just noticed that at 11 years old, she's already, I mean, she's thinking of, among other things, there's a aging is in there, growing old. And interesting that was, it's not a poem about, I don't know what, playing video games, whatever 11-year-olds do these days.
But you said you took her to the library?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, talk more about that and the importance of that.
Well, she had some books of poetry, and most of my books were mostly for adults. So mm-hmm. I thought, well, let's go to the children's section. And she already had some ideas. But the woman there was in the children's library portion was so helpful. And of course, we looked for Shel Silverstein.
Of course, yes.
She loves those poems. And she already knew some of the titles, but we both have loved going to the library anyway. So that's just something we have done together. So
what a neat idea, going to the library with one of your grandparents. I mean, you know, sometimes parents are too busy, and sometimes you don't want to go with you. You want some distance. But how neat! I'm sure that's just a special time for you and your granddaughter.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How wonderful. Who wants to know, or should we listen to a song?
Let's do a song, and then I'll do the next
one. Okay, the one that I have queued up, Jack is going to have to move it around, and afterwards I think that Brenda can talk about it. And since we're talking about children, Sweet Honey in a Rock, mm-hmm. in the Rock, a song called On Children. Let's play that one and about the nature of children and the importance of children. 100,000 Poets for Change this Saturday at Evans Brothers, 1 to 4, talking about social change, personal change, and here's a song about children. Sweet Honey in the Rock, On Children. Brenda, you said you have it memorized.
Well, at one time I did. When in my early college days, we were all reading The Prophet by Khalil mm-hmm. Gibran, which is where this comes from. But growing up with a lot of little children around me as a young adult, and now I teach parenting classes. I teach the Circle of Security Parenting. I've had 4 children and now 4 beautiful grandgirls. And these words take on even more meaning. And I'm so glad you reminded me of it. I haven't thought of it for a long time, and I think I'll share it in the parenting classes that I do. The message is just... to me, it's spot on. So,
well, if I could go back to a week ago at the Panada Theater, they had the movie "Will You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers?" Mm-hmm. And did you see that, Brenda?
I didn't.
How about you, Sharon?
No, I didn't.
It was, you know, talk about children and someone who just was able to tune in a loving, caring, supportive manner. I was just, I had at times tears running down my you know, which just watching the way in which he. Responded to the world of children, and he felt, you know, he had a way to get into it. And so when you mentioned that about On Children and how to, you know, with parenting or whatever, I'd highly recommend that movie.
Yeah.
And thanks to the Panada for bringing it. Mm-hmm. Very important. Mm-hmm. Can we turn to you to read a poem?
Yeah, the first poem that came to my mind when we started talking about reading some poetry on the air is a poem that my oldest son loved when he was growing up, and we read together. And one time, he's a father now, father of 2 of those beautiful grandgirls, and he found it again and just tacked it up on my bulletin board. And I know it's something that he reads to his 2 daughters. And it's by Rudyard Kipling from The Elephant's Child. And it says, I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I know. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. I send them over land and sea. I send them east and west. But after they have worked for me, I give them all a rest. I let them rest from 9 to 5, for I am busy then, as well as breakfast, lunch, and tea, for they are hungry men. But different folk have different views. I know a person small. She keeps 10 million serving men who get no rest at all. She sends them abroad on her own affairs from the second she opens her eyes. 1 million hows, 2 million wheres, and 7 million whys.
Do I dare ask how many times you read that to him?
Oh, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
And that's Rudyard Kipling?
Yes, and from The Elephant's Child.
Elephant's Child. I'm not familiar with that book. I would wager that one could get it at the library, correct?
I suppose, yeah.
The poem I'd like to read is one by County Cullen. It was written in 1924, and it deals with children and a part of childhood of learned behavior, and it's called Incident. Once riding in old Baltimore, heart-filled, head-filled with glee, I saw a Baltimorean keep looking straight at me. Now, I was 8 and very small, and he was no whit bigger. So I smiled, but he poked out his tongue and called me nigger. I saw the whole of Baltimore from May until December. Of all the things that happened there, that's all that I remember.
Yikes.
Boom. How's that from taking the air out of the room? Yeah, it's a poem that in terms of language and how one word can shape a child's experience of a spot in time, a place in time, and a way in which to see oneself. And it's that sort of personal change that I think is so important. Because I think there's been, and you could probably support me on this, Brenda, a lot of studies done that a lot of prejudice is learned behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And so County Cullen, 1903 to 1946.
Well, I have a poem that I think goes well to follow that because it brings things up a bit.
Perfect.
As far as mood.
Good. We need something like that.
And if I can, here it is. But what you read speaks so much to the power of words.
Absolutely.
So this is a poem by Langston Hughes.
Another favorite of mine.
So a good one to follow, County Cullen. It's called Dream Variations. And he says, to fling my arms wide in some place of the sun, to whirl and to dance till the white day is done, then rest at cool evening beneath a tall tree, while night comes on gently, dark like me. That is my dream. To fling my arms wide in the face of the sun, dance, whirl, whirl till the quick day is done. Rest at pale evening, a tall, slim tree. Night coming tenderly, dark like me.
Yeah, I can't help but the visual imagery of that poem. I was thinking of a poster, you know, that I could very easily visualize that.
Hmm. Well, you gave me a poem here, Jim.
Are you ready?
I don't know if I am. I've been reading it nervously.
My students would get nervous because I'd always believe in reading a poem before we would discuss it in class. And there's something about the immediacy. We're not all professional readers of poetry, and we're not meant to be. We're meant to be moved by the poem. And so, but you better be careful. It's one of my all-time favorite poets. And, no pressure. But I think Emily Dickinson is looking down upon you right now.
Yeah.
But go for it.
Okay, here we go. I'm Nobody, Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise. You know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell one's name, the livelong June, to an admiring bog. That's a great poem. I like that.
There's that sense of of the value of oneself, though one might be so different that one is not recognized by the admiring bog. I like that. Let's play a song now that I think fits in beautifully, written by Woody Guthrie. It's This Land Is Your Land. But the version I'm going to do is by Sharon Jones, someone who passed away a couple years ago, a pancreatic cancer, I believe. But just, wow. She's with the Dap Kings. And this is a version of This Land Is Your Land from the soundtrack to the George Clooney movie Up in the Air. And this is what the... So because I think it celebrates... This land is for everyone and the importance of that. Here's Sharon Joan and the Dap Kings here on 88.5 KRFY. The wonderful Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, This Land Is Your Land. It's not meant about ownership or possession, but we're all here to experience it in its incredible beauty. And spectacular wonderfulness. We're here on 88.5 KRFY. You're tuned into the Jim and Jack on the Thursday edition of the morning show. And we're here with Sharon McCann and Brenda Hammond from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. And we're looking ahead to 100,000 poets for change, personal change, social change. And it'll take place this Saturday. Evans Brothers, 1 to 4. Bring a poem, bring your own poem, bring a guitar, and enjoy a cup of coffee or tea.
Bring your children.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Bring, because I think the opportunity to hear the word spoken, read, is so very important. Sharon, you brought another poem, and I see it's by Mary Oliver.
Yes, she's one of my most favorite poets.
Perfect.
I used to teach a mindfulness class, and we used her poetry a lot about paying attention. I was wondering what poem to read that a child would enjoy, so I read a bunch to Juliet, and she picked this one.
Cool.
It's called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life.
Wow. I love that. I like that. I can remember, I haven't done this in a long time, but, you know, when I was a kid, laying down in the grass, like watching ants move back and forth, and, you know, time would pass. I mean, the hey, pay attention. This incredible world is around you. And you said your granddaughter?
She chose it. I mean, when I read her several, this is one she said, oh, I think kids would love this.
Well, how about adults?
Well, of course.
Absolutely.
We have to be reminded.
Let's not forget that there is, as Whitman says, a child in all of us, and the child goes forth every day and absorbs it. And we have a tendency to forget that we, too, can fall down in the grass and watch an ant move around, and I haven't done that in a while. Have you, Brenda?
No, but you were reminding me of a memorable event in our family history. My younger son never really got much involved in sports, but I remember when he was playing soccer early on, where it's the whole team just follows the ball back and forth across the field, and he was kind of looking down in the grass and put out his hand and stopped the whole advancing team because there was a beetle walking by.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, I stop and think, I've got friends who are birders. Birders, but that's something bigger. Mm-hmm. How nice it is to, at times, and I have to admit, I haven't done it in a long time, to focus down on something mm-hmm. so small. There's a whole world there that's going about its mm-hmm. business. And
Well, children with their imaginations, I think that world is more accessible to them.
Rather than the bigness. On the other hand, watching the little children watch these big on First Avenue. By the way, if you're coming downtown, give yourself enough time. Brenda, you said you had another one?
Well, since it's talking about positive change.
Sure.
I brought a poem about Harriet Tubman.
Perfect.
And it's by Eloise Greenfield. Harriet Tubman. Okay, let me start again. Harriet Tubman didn't take no stuff. Wasn't scared of nothing neither. Didn't come in this world to be no slave. And wasn't gonna stay one either. Farewell, she sang to her friends one night. She was mighty sad to leave him. But she ran away that dark, hot night, ran looking for her freedom. She ran to the woods, and she ran through the woods, with the slave catchers right behind her. And she kept on going till she got to the north, where those mean men couldn't find her. 19 times she went back south to get 300 others. She ran for her freedom, 19 times, to save black sisters and brothers. Harriet Tubman didn't take no stuff. Wasn't scared of nothing, neither. Didn't come in this world to be no slave. And didn't stay one, either.
Wow, what a message to children that is, in terms of being true to yourself. And good job. Let's play a song that would sort of fit in with a lot of the different themes. Pete Seeger, he is someone who I stand in awe of him, and his children's albums are just incredible. The way in which he can get children to sing around him, and the beauty of song and the spoken word. This is called My Rainbow Race, about the beautifulness around us, and we are here to enjoy it. Pete Seeger, My Rainbow Race, that comes from an album from the early 70s. Go tell all the little children, tell all the mothers and fathers too. Now's our last chance to learn to share what's been given to me and you. I love this song, the boom, boom, boom of the bass. It's so rhythmic. And then I love the children's voices in the background. He redoes this song on a later album in the late 90s called Pete, and he has an adult choir backing him up. And I don't think it works as well for me, but my Pete is a particular Pete, and he sings to me. We're here with Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. This is Jim and Jack, and we're talking about 100,000 Poets for Change event this Saturday at Evans Brothers, 1 to 4. Bring a poem, bring a child, bring a guitar, and enjoy the written word. Poems about change, social change, personal change, peace. It's an international event, and you've got another poem, Sharon, right?
I do.
Read it to us.
This one is from Alice Walker. It's from her book of poems called The World Will Follow Joy, Turning Madness into Flowers. And this poem is titled Hope to Sin Only in the Service of Waking Up. Hope never to believe it is your duty or right to harm another simply because you mistakenly believe they are not you. Hope to understand suffering as the hard assignment, even in school, you wish to avoid, but could not. Hope to be imperfect in all the ways that keep you growing. Hope never to see another, not even a blade of grass, that is beyond your joy. Hope not to be a snob the very day love shows up in love's work clothes. Hope to see your own skin in the wood grains of your home. Hope to talk to trees and at last tell them everything you've always thought. Hope at the end to enter the unknown knowing yourself, forgetting yourself also. Hope to be consumed, to disappear into your own love. Hope to know where you are, paradise, if nobody else does. Hope that every failure is an arrow pointing toward enlightenment. Hope to sin only in the service of waking up.
Wow. I like the repetition of the of hope too. Mm-hmm. Hope mm-hmm. too. There's something very... I have one last poem that I would like to read, and then we'll play a song, and then we'll have to say goodbye to Sharon and Brenda because we've got some upcoming events. We were talking during, if you can believe it, talking during one of the songs, not paying attention. Mm-hmm. We're talking about E.E. Cummings. And this is a poem that he wrote called May My Heart Be Open to Little. And it goes like this. And this deals about the child within us, how we lose that capacity to see that beetle, how we lose that capacity to see the little things around us and forget what joy can bring. May my heart be open to little birds who are the secrets of living. Whatever they sing is better than to know. And if men should not hear them, men are old. May my mind stroll about hungry and fearless and thirsty and supple. And even if it's Sunday, may I be wrong. For whenever men are right, they are not young. And may myself do nothing usefully, and love yourself so more than truly. There's never quite been such a fool who could fail, pulling all the sky over him with one smile. I like that poem a lot. Even if it's Sunday, may I be wrong, for whenever men are right, they are not young. How we become so sure of the world about us that we forget what it is to discover it. And I have to admit, it's got one of my most, I've gotten certain words. I'm sure that we all have, a word like plethora, yuck, or shards. I'm tired of those words. But supple. I love the word supple. And E.E. Cummings uses the word supple. And I don't think we use it enough.
You're probably right. You're tired of the word shards, Jim?
Shards. I have a own little personal story. I read poetry manuscripts for a creative writing journal years ago when I was in graduate school, the Prairie Schooner, and we would get anywhere between 15 and 20,000 poems a year submitted, and we'd only publish about 80 to 100. And I would read them and, they'd fall out of an envelope. I wouldn't know where they're from or who. Mm-hmm. And they had to come alive for me. And I discover certain words that, if I had the word shards in it, I'm sorry, you're going back in the envelope and moving. Thank goodness there was not only one reader. Yeah. There were other readers. And so therefore I could show my contempt for the word shards.
Let me ask a little bit about the larger picture here. This is just one event going on September 29th. There's others going on across the country. Is that right?
Yes, actually around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's an international event.
Who are the 100,000 Poets for Change?
All the voices that hopefully will speak out.
Are we? So it's not limited to 100,000?
No, not at all.
Do you know anything about the founding of the original movement or anything?
I don't know. I wish Christine Holbert were here. She was... is very knowledgeable about that, and she's the one that became involved in it and brought it to the task force, and we just kind of wholeheartedly adopted it. It's a wonderful event.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it's the fourth annual here in Sandpoint. I don't know if it's on this sheet.
Well, 2011 is when it started.
Okay, so the seventh, right, annual?
Makes
sense to you? Yeah, it makes sense to me. 100,000 Poets for Change. They do have a website, the larger organization, 100tpc.org. And then the next global event takes place September 29th, including one event here in Sandpoint at Evans Brothers Coffee.
One to four.
There we go. Did we have another poem?
We have another song because we'll say goodbye to Brenda and Sharon, and they will have to go out and face First Avenue. I hope. Yeah, but they have poetry. One of the poems I like, if we're going to talk about poetry, is that it's a poem called Shoplifting Poetry. And it's a person who goes into the bookstore and stands there and reads poems. And then he walks out with words flowing out of his mouth. And he's shoplifting. I like that concept. But a song that I played before, Brenda has heard it, and off of Joan Baez's most recent album. And it deals with the president sang Amazing Grace. In June of 2015, 9 people were murdered in the Emmanuel African Methodist Church in Charleston. And at the funeral for the pastor, Clementa Pinckney, in late June, at that time, President Obama gave the eulogy, and then he sang Amazing Grace. And if you want to see the eulogy, you can go and him singing, go to YouTube. But this is a lovely song about human compassion and love and the importance of forgiveness. And I think that these are important aspects that we can all deal with change in ourselves. So here's Joan Baez, the president saying Amazing Grace. That was Joan Baez, the president, saying Amazing Grace. Not the president, but she ends it with my president saying the Amazing Grace. 100,000 Poets for Change this Saturday. Evans Brothers, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Bring a poem, either one that you've written or that has moved you. Bring your children. Bring a guitar and share the written and sung word about personal change, social change, and the importance of uniting over poetry. That's always a good thing. Let's talk about some upcoming events. Today, it's the last Thursday of the month, and of course, that means Yappy Hour, one of the fun things to do with your pet, a tail wagging good time. Eichhardt's Pub on Cedar Street. They're going to host the Yappy Hour today from 4 to 7. So bring your dog and enjoy a Panhandle Animal Shelter benefit with live music, beverages, and fun. So that's today, this afternoon at Eichhardt's Yappy Hour.
There's live music at the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow. Let's do that usual Friday rundown of live music. Most of it on
everywhere,
Cedar Street.
Everywhere.
Yeah. At the Idaho Poor Authority, Bright Moments Jazz with, I believe, Maya Goldblum is still in town.
She is.
Yes.
She is.
So that's Bright Moments Jazz is a great three-piece that occasionally becomes a four-piece band with a female vocalist, which really adds a nice something, I think. 5 to 7 p.m. on the 28th, that's tomorrow, at the Idaho Poor Authority. At the Winery, live music with Riff Hangers from 5 to 8 p.m. Muffy and the Riff Hangers performing country, blues, and swing from 5 to 8 at the Pondere Winery. There is then RFB at the 219. The Oktoberfest Bash from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., a.k.a. Right Front Burner. It's RFB. Back at the Beer Hall for their first time in 4 years. I said the 219, I think. I meant McDuff's Beer Hall. First time in 4 years, Sandpoint's finest party band featuring funk, disco, rock, and groovy tunes. The Inland Northwest's funkiest band, RFB, has the power to make your booty shake and get your groove on. It's free and open to the
Yahoo!
Public as long as you're 21 and older. That starts at 6:30 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall tomorrow, the 28th of September. It's part of the Oktoberfest Bash, which has always bothered me a little bit when Oktoberfest doesn't fall within the month of October.
Well, let me tell you, we went to Munich one time, and we discovered that a lot of Oktoberfest is in September. And you go, but of course, you know, that part of the world, any occasion to drink for as long as you can and to hoist those steins. Yeah. Such fun.
It starts in July.
Yep.
And just, yeah.
And you continue on through November. I've got something that begins tonight and runs through the weekend at the Panada Theater, the Manhattan Short Film Festival. It begins tonight. The first showing is at 7:30, and I think tomorrow night, Friday, is at 5:30. And you'd have to go to panada.org to find the other ones. But it hosts the four-day Manhattan Short Film Festival, which takes place in more than 350 venues across six continents. Come view the final nine selections of this 21st annual event and cast a ballot to award Best Film and Actor. Now, I might be mistaken, but I think the same nine films are shown each time. So if you go on Thursday night, Friday night is... same films. I could be wrong on that. Give the Panada Theater a call or check that up. But, you know, I think an opportunity like this is not to be missed to celebrate short films.
Yeah.
So at the Panada this weekend.
Let's see. There is an art exhibition opening tomorrow, the 28th, The Golden Ages of Transportation. Travel through time on a visual discovery with Golden Ages of Transportation art exhibition from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Pondere Arts Gallery at 334 North First Avenue, that is on the Cedar Street Bridge. Past, present, and future of transportation in our society is the exhibition, free and open to the public. Go to artinsandpoint.org for more information.
I've got two items, one today and one on Saturday. Today at 3 o'clock, join Ryan Baumgartner with 3 o'clock Rush. Ryan is our high school representative, and he is doing a bang-up job on Saturday. And this might be the last Saturday. I'm not sure, but you might want to check. Sandpoint Farmers Market. Everything is producing like crazy. SandpointFarmersMarket.com. Find out about it. One more thing I want to say about the food. If you have a garden or a tree in your orchard with apples and Italian prune plums, and that's way too many for you, keep the food bank in mind. They do take fresh produce. You need to call there and make arrangements for availability. But, you know, we all have a surplus at this time of year. I know that in our garden, we've got more tomatoes than we could ever shake a stick at, as well as zucchini and squash and gourds. So keep the food bank in mind. Let's feed our neighbors.
The head of the Pondere Regatta is going on out in Priest River on the 29th. That's at 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. Saturday barbecue featuring the Klondike smoked ribs and chicken begins at 1 p.m. at the Mudhole. Let's see here. The head of the Pondere Regatta. That's right. 8:30 until 5 p.m. in Priest River. Also going on this weekend, Crosstoberfest, the seventh year of Crosstoberfest. It's the major fundraiser for Team Autism 24/7. If you were listening to the morning show on Tuesday, you heard all about it, but it's out at the UI Annex 2404 North Boyer Avenue. A different course is featured each day of the weekend, and there will also be excellent food, liquid refreshments, and beer as usual, plus music. Camping available on site. Donations accepted to cover the cost of porta potties. Okay. Learn more.
Lots
on
happening at this website. Beautiful time of year. And Jack, as always, good to be on the air with you.
Likewise. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere.
This is Bird Note. Some of the most beautiful birds in the world are starlings. In Africa, where there are dozens of starling species, a quick look reveals a variety of visual stunners. Some of the names hint at their dazzle. Superb starling, golden-breasted starling, and emerald purple and violet-backed starlings. Just imagine a splendid, glossy starling outside your window. A quick view of the superb starling shows a fantastically shiny bird with a deep blue head and breast, black face, aquamarine wings, and a flame orange belly. African starlings have taken glossy plumage to new heights. The secret lies in their melanosomes, rod-shaped structures in birds' feather cells that carry dark pigment. In birds that sparkle, These rods are organized in ways that glisten under the light. Since starlings first appeared in Africa 17 million years ago, they've evolved three new forms of rod shapes in addition to the ancient one. This is the only group of birds to possess all four different rods. New shapes of rods meant new ways of interacting with light and the emergence of new, more colorful feathers. This variety of colors pushed the rapid evolution of a wide range of African starling species, each with its own scintillating feathers. A wonderland of starlings. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Support for KRFY provided by Bonner General Health, offering quality, compassionate health care close to home for all residents in the region. More information available at bonnergeneral.org or by calling 208-263-1441.
Coming to you from downtown Sandpoint, this is Otto's Eclectic Mix on 88.5 KRFY.
In their changing hands. numbers grow. Respect mother.